Now, this is one of these interesting days because today is 12-11-12, which means, you know, tomorrow's going to be 12-12-12. Gee, I wonder, will the Hoosier Lottery restrict that number when somebody's playing that tomorrow? Anyway, it is Tuesday, December the 11th, 2012. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. Coming up, a major discussion of a Hoosier institution that has been in effect. Let me see if I do the math. Let's see. 90 to 10, 90 to 0 is 10, 0 to 10 is 20. 22 years, 21st century scholars have been helping Hoosier young people from all across the state get an opportunity to attend college, have tuition paid. Many cases be the first in their families to go to college, opening up the door to low-income families to send their kids to college to get a degree. 21st Century Scholars over the years has opened the door of higher education to tens of thousands of Hoosier young people. It was started during the Bay administration, but it was approved on a bipartisan basis by the Indiana General Assembly, paid for out of the general funds that you, you know, everything y'all pay in taxes, sales tax, income tax. They need the lottery money that goes into the general fund, all helped the 21st Century Scholars Program. But in recent months, there have been some changes in the program. Changes that affect the kind of grade point average that you have, changes in effect of whether you're going to be guaranteed full tuition at a university within the borders of the great state of Indiana. There, you know, some of the offices have changed, some of the number of people working with 21st Century Scholars have changed. And at the same time, there's been concern by the Indiana Commission for Higher Education, which regulates the 21st Century Scholars, saying, wait a minute, we're paying all this money for kids to start college, and then they don't graduate. And this is part of the larger problem in Indiana with kids going to college. It has nothing to do with whether you're low income. There are some kids that make good, their families make good money. They're not completing college on time. And on time means 3 or 4 years, or maybe 5 years if you're a student athlete, you know, playing football or basketball. But it is a serious problem that the state is trying to address. So since we know a lot of people listening are alumni of 21st Century Scholars Program, because after 22 years, there are some folks who went through the program, got a degree, maybe a postgraduate degree. Now they're out being successful after 22 years. They may have some 6th, 7th, and 8th graders that they're enrolling in the program. There are a lot of people that are maybe participating in the program, or you're in the program and you don't know the changes are going on. You're hearing all kind of rumors. We've got folks in the house from 21st Century Scholars that will explain everything. Jason Bierce is here from the state and the Commission on Higher Education. Chris Enstrom is here with 21st Century Scholars. Diana Washington, she's got a difficult job because her job is, they got 8 regions in the state handling 21st Century. A lot of state programs have regions. Most of the state programs never make Marion County its own region. You know, Marion County has to share with some of the little suburban and rural counties. But the 21st Century Scholars got religion. Marion County is its own region. Yay! But Diana Washington is the only person that has to deal with the thousands of college potential 21st Century Scholars here in Marion County. I know y'all got questions about 21st Century Scholars. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send us an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620. Keyword Amos. They're here to find, to tell the community some of the changes, as well as hear feedback from the community. Guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us, Amos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's start out with, you know, basic 21st Century Scholars is December 11th, 2012, of what the program is today. Because it really, some of the requirements have changed in the program, and it affects new entrants and some of the entrants that have been in the program a number of years. What is the program today? You know, in other words, if there's somebody listening that has never signed up to be a 21st Century Scholar, what is the criteria?
Well, let's start about and talk about what the program is today.
Okay.
It's really the state's premier college scholarship for Hoosier students. And, you know, Indiana a long time ago, back in 1998, said that we wanted to make an investment in all Hoosier students and say that college is possible for all students.
Right.
And as middle school students, they sign a scholar pledge. And with the components of that pledge have changed a little bit, which we'll get to in a minute.
Okay.
But from the beginning, the pledge has been fairly simple that says, I am making a commitment to work hard in school, that I'm going to maintain a certain grade point average, that I'm going to stay out of trouble, stay away from drugs and alcohol. I'm going to graduate from high school. I'm going to fill out some certain forms on time in terms of college applications and financial aid. And in return for making good on those commitments, mm-hmm. the state of Indiana will pay up to 4 years of college tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the case for a number of years. What has not been as explicit as it probably should be is in terms of what are the specific steps that students need to take from the time they enroll the program to the time they go off to college and even while they're in college. And that's really what we're talking about today in terms of changes that are being discussed and considered about the program. The legislature gave the state some pretty clear marching orders in this regard. First, they raised the GPA requirement. There's always been a GPA requirement for the 21st Century Scholars Program. Historically, it was a 2.0 grade point average.
Mm-hmm.
It's been raised for students who enrolled in the program after June 30 of 2011.
Okay.
So all students moving forward, it's now a 2.5 GPA requirement.
2.5.
And there was a pretty clear reason for that. If you look at all the data, both in Indiana and nationally, it was pretty clear that students who didn't hit that 2.5 GPA while they were in high school were far less likely to go to college, one, but more importantly, to complete college. So that was the first major change. The second change was really refocusing the program on sort of how it was intended to begin with. From the very beginning, the 21st Century Scholars Program was intended to be a preparation program first and a scholarship program second. But in part because the state could provide some clearer guidelines in terms of what it means to be a 21st century scholar, I think it's fair to say that the program has been viewed primarily as a scholarship program. But what we see as an opportunity moving forward is one, to make sure students are academically prepared in terms of this 2.5 GPA, but also that each year that students are enrolled in the program, we want to be very clear about what you need to do as a ninth grader, what you need to do as a 10th grader, and so forth, each year in the program to ensure that you go to the right college and that you're successful once you get there.
So part of it was to make sure that you not only got the check at, you know, after you got your diploma, but that you were prepared to deal with the rigors of a college.
Right.
And whether that was Ivy Tech, because Ivy Tech wasn't the system that it is today back in 1990. So I think is it fair to say that when people were looking at college, they weren't necessarily looking at Ivy Tech. They were looking at IU and Purdue and Ball State and Indiana State and everybody else.
And that's true today as well. The majority of 21st century scholars, most people don't realize this, but the majority of 21st century scholars today go to a four-year college.
Okay.
And that's perfectly appropriate for students who are prepared to succeed once they get there. But there was a very intentional reason why students had to sign up for the program as middle school students as opposed to at some point during high school, because there were specific things and then choices that they were going to need to make along that path to be
okay.
successful. So you can't become a 21st century scholar as a senior in high school because you haven't taken all those steps to make sure that you're going to succeed once you get to college.
One of the things I noticed there was on the website a report done back in 2007, 2008 by Stan Jones, who, you know, mm-hmm. for many years was the head of the Commission on Higher Education, and it had a basic demographic of 21st century scholars. It said that 26% were African American, 68% white, 2% then Hispanic, 2% Native American, 1% Asian, 1% multiracial. And in a state where at that time 9% of the population is African American, that's disproportionate in a positive way. Are those roughly the same statistics today?
I think those have been pretty balanced over time.
Mm-hmm. So African Americans, you know, are disproportionately, you know, a part of the 21st century scholars.
Relative to their overall state population, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and part of this is telling a whole generation of people who might not have thought that they were that college was possible for them. I think now when we survey students every year, almost all students now say that they plan to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as clear on what it actually takes to get to college and be successful, but it's an important moment to stop and recognize and realize how much we've changed as a state in that regard. I mean, there's a reason why this program has been so focused on access to college for so long is because it wasn't that long ago where most people in Indiana didn't think they needed to go to college. And so we've really made some pretty remarkable progress in terms of flipping that equation. And now most people believe that college is necessary, or they think that it's something that they should at least consider. And most people think that it's something that is potentially within their grasp.
One of the requirements of 21st Century Scholars that has not changed is that the scholars and their parents have to fill out that goodness awful financial aid form, the form that makes the income tax form look real simple. And they've got to do that by March, beginning in their senior year of high school, even if they're not enrolled.
Correct.
And this is a little kicker. I didn't realize even if you're not planning to go to college, you still got to fill out the form.
That's correct.
That's a requirement. You don't do that, you're out of luck.
And it's really required for all students.
Okay.
March 10th, that's the bottom
March
line.
March 10th.
You have to fill out what's known as the FAFSA, the mm-hmm. Free Application for Federal Student Aid, which is, there's a reason why people call it the FAFSA, right? It's hard to remember that. But there are a couple of non-negotiables for anybody if you plan or expect to go to college. You're going to have to fill out your financial aid forms on time, and you're going to have to apply to college. And that's the case if you're a 21st century scholar. That's the case if you're any student who's planning to go to college of any age.
One of the other requirements that is unchanged is in order to fulfill your promise and have the state, I guess now, you know, Uncle Mike, writing the check, you have to enroll in college within a year of your high school graduation?
That's correct.
That's correct. So, anyone who graduates in the spring 2013 would have to enroll as a full-time student by the fall of 2014.
All right. So, because I think a lot of people may think, well, wait a minute now. I thought you automatically go in. Is there a reason for the year? Is that to maybe allow a student some breathing room space? Because I would have thought, wait a minute, you got to go right away.
Well, actually, it had previously been 2 years.
Uh-huh.
They had 2 years to enroll in college once they graduated. But, the understanding is that students who, the longer you wait, the less likely you are to enroll in college. And once you enroll, the less likely you are to finish. And so they cut it down to 1 year. But understanding that there are, unexpected things that happen in people's lives, and to make sure there's still flexibility to allow for those things.
You've got students who signed up when they were in the seventh and eighth grade. Now they're seniors. How do they know? Obviously, they had to fill out paperwork. It used to be you had to fill the paperwork out and mail it in. You changed several years ago to online. How do the members of the class of 2013 check to make sure that they are 21st century scholars? If something didn't get lost in the mail or the ozone?
Great question. Thank you, Amos. This is Diana Washington. I'm actually the outreach coordinator for Marion County.
Right.
And what I've been doing is reaching out to our high school guidance counselors, sending them emails, checking with them to find out, hey, could you please check your roster? Make sure these students are still present with you. And that's a great thing to do because I've been getting a lot of information from scholar families saying, hey, well, I'm not on the roster. What's going on? And if you know that you're not receiving information, get in touch with me. Call me, email me, talk with your guidance counselor so we can make sure you're getting the information.
Now, when you say roster, what
yes.
does that mean? Does that mean every high school and charter high school and private high school in Marion County is supposed to have a list of who their 21st century scholars are?
Right on. Exactly.
How would they know that? In other words, if a kid signed up in seventh grade, how do y'all know what high school they're in? Is that, do y'all cross-check and get their unique student number that the kid wouldn't know when they fill it out, but you work with the Department of Education to get because every Hoosier student has a unique number, y'all get access to the unique numbers? Is that how that works?
That's exactly right. Although most of the time you could make those connections just by having basic information in terms of first name, last name, city,
right.
and so forth. But yes. But generally speaking, and this is something we want to be even more intentional about moving forward, you shouldn't be asking yourself questions midway or latter part of high school about whether or not you're a 21st century scholar, because part of being a 21st century scholar is that you should be, actively involved in doing certain activities.
Uh-huh.
And what we've found, and this is, I'm going to make some broad statements. These aren't case, right. the case in every case. We have some students who signed up as middle school students and maybe didn't even realize they were a 21st century scholar until some point during their senior year. And somebody said, oh, wait, the state of Indiana, because you're a scholar, has these opportunities available to you. Well, that's really a missed opportunity in terms of any number of things a student can be doing along that path.
Should it also be that if the student, or more importantly, mom, dad, grandpa, remembers they signed up, not only should the kid be bugging the high school counselor, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, auntie, and uncle need to be bugging the high school counselor.
It is important that you do that. I have a number of students that I have bad addresses for, unknown schools for. So it is crucial that you contact us to let us know, because if you fall in that that particular crack, I lose contact with you. I don't know how to get a hold of you. I don't have a correct address for you. The school doesn't have a correct address for you. You're no longer on the roster. So for families that have moved, changed your phone number, changed schools, please contact us, because we are trying to get this information out to you. And your guidance counselors and your schools need to know this information as well.
Where does homeschool fit in? In other words, if someone is, because homeschooling is legal here in the state of Indiana, so can homeschool kids be a 21st century scholar?
Well, homeschool kids cannot enroll in the program. You have to be enrolled.
You have to be in a school.
In school, a public school or a private school accredited by the Indiana Department of Education to enroll. And you have to graduate from a public school or a private school that's accredited. However, you can theoretically be homeschooled in between. But if you don't graduate with a high school diploma from the state of Indiana, a public school, you cannot get the scholarship.
Oh, wait a minute. So that means, and correct me if I'm wrong, those schools that aren't participating in the private schools that aren't participating in the voucher program, because to be in the voucher program, you got to be accredited and follow all those rules. If you can be in a school that's not accredited, you know, still get a diploma and maybe get into college, but you can't be a 21st century scholar. Is that correct?
Yeah, if they're not recognized by the Department of Education, yeah, you
okay.
can. Yeah.
All right, see the things we're learning. 239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon with Amos. Talking about 21st century scholars, let's start to try to talk to as many as possible. You know, make your question or comment short and to the point. Let me start with Tanya. Hi there.
Yes, thank you, Amos. And I will try to make this short as possible. I'm absolutely livid as to what I'm hearing right now on this radio about 21st century scholars. I'd like to know a couple of things. One, who decided to change the GPA requirement from a 2.0 to a 2.5 for the graduating class of 2013?
Wait a minute. Let me make a correction. The 2.5 requirement begins with the class of 2015 going forward. The class of 2013 and 14, they're grandfathered or grandmothered into the 2.0.
Okay.
Okay.
Even
you
okay.
feel a little better about on that part.
No.
Okay.
No,
all right. No. Okay. Go ahead.
Because I'm gonna tell you why. That is going to make that 26% African American number definitely go down. 2.5 GPA is very difficult currently right now in some of these school systems to achieve, and particularly for these students that are first time going to college. To get a 2.5 for a lot of them is going to be virtually impossible. I have one that's a 21st century scholar. Actually, I have three. And the one that's the math major, the smartest of them all, had only a 2.3 herself. So, and I know the work that she put in. Some kids don't test well. That's a subjective number, and I'd like to know who decided to change that number from a 2.0 to a 2.5 and cause a disproportionate number of African-American students now to not qualify for 21st century scholars.
All right, that's a great question. Who made this decision?
Well, ultimately, it was the state legislature.
Okay. This was put in a bill.
That's correct.
Okay, and it was passed when?
That's a good question.
It was in the 2011 session.
Last year's session. No, not – yeah, because this is 2012.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, 2010.
It was 2010.
It was in the 2010 session. All right. So blame your legislators.
But, you know, there was good reason for that, in that the data is pretty clear in terms of and I know that students are working very hard out there, and we want them to keep working hard, but – overall, if you look at the numbers, students who don't achieve that 2.5 threshold while they're in high school, they're far more likely to be on academic probation once they get to college, which means they will lose their scholarship. And even more importantly than that, they're not going to graduate from a college. And so it was a lot of serious conversation involving people who worked with the 21st century scholars population, talking with schools, talking with the students themselves in many cases, is that, you know, what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to set students up for failure. We don't want them to go into college feeling that they are a 21st century scholar and they have all this world of opportunity in front of them, and then find out very quickly how hard it is and how they're not prepared and ultimately they're not successful. And so we're really trying to put as much work as possible in on the front end to avoid that situation from happening.
Tanya, let me ask you, you said you have three in there. What class years? In other words, what are their graduating class years?
One was 2010. The other was 2009, 2011, and I'll have one that's 2013. But I had one prior to that who lost her eligibility because we did not file that first year. The income taxes for her, and she lost her eligibility because she just wasn't ready to go to college just yet. But, of course, she's in college and dean's list every semester. And this is why I'm questioning this, because I know for a fact nobody talked to the parents. Nobody talked to the parents. And currently what goes on in these schools, what students learn at Lawrence North is different from what they learn at Lawrence Central and is different from what they learn in IPS school system. Now, that I do know for sure. And that's what makes a lot of these children feel like when they go to a four-year college that they're not prepared. Unless they took AP courses or honor courses, they don't feel prepared. So I think this is something subjective, and I definitely be contacting my representative because no one said anything. And I would have been, if I was the only voice to have objected to this, I would have been the only voice to object to this, because I think now you all have put these children, and see, and when you look at statistics across the board, you cannot generalize what any child would do. And my uncle is proof positive. D's and F's in high school, all the way through high school, went to college and was on the dean's list every semester and was an engineer. You cannot judge what a child would do based off of grades and test scores.
All right, good. Now, test scores are not a requirement in 21st century scholars. So there's no I-step or there's no end-of-course completion requirement in 21st century scholars. It's just straight-up classroom grades. Is that correct?
I mean, obviously, the tests are factored into grades, but yes, it's the grades.
But not I-STEP or ECA.
Correct.
They're not, you know, but, yeah, okay. All right, good points, Tanya. And if you want to know your state representative's number, just call 232-9600. Tell them where you live, and they'll tell them who your representative is and how to get a hold of them. Let me go to Tawana at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have two questions, actually.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to know, is there a contact number for someone to change the address? My student lives in Washington Township. And then the other part of my question is, are there any other changes other than the GPA changes that will affect the class of 2013?
In 2013, no.
I think we need to mention once again, they keep talking about the GPA changes. There are no GPA changes for the cohort of 2013. The cumulative GPA for that cohort is still a 2.0.
And it will not change for 2014.
Correct.
So 2013, seniors, y'all covered. You're grandfathered in. Juniors, you're grandfathered in. Sophomores, that's when the 2.5 would start. Now, there's a phone number, and everybody start getting get pencil, pen, crayon, any kind of writing implement. The phone number, 1-888-528-4719. That's if you want to make sure that the registration is got the correct address and zip code and stuff for you. 1-888-528-4719. 1-888-528-4719. Tawana, thank you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Back to the phones. And Keisha, hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I have a question. I called once before, and my daughter just started college, and she found out that she didn't have 21st century scholars when she got there. She goes to Indiana State.
Okay.
And she got a couple scholarships from the Urban Mission, and she done a lot of stuff for the school, with the school. She volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
She made sure that she didn't lose it. She was told that if she got in trouble, or if she got suspended, or anything like that, she would lose a 21st century scholar.
Now, what year was this? What year did she graduate?
She just graduated this year. She just started college.
So she graduated in 12, correct? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let me ask a question. You filled out on time the financial aid form, correct?
Everything from the moment that was in diapers. That little checkbox was there. I checked it every year. My son is there.
Well, wait a minute. Not the checkbox. You know, in February of this year, January and February of this year, going into March, did you fill out a big, long, complex form asking you everything, you know, but what color is your hair, form for financial aid? Did you fill that out? Called the federal, it's called FAFSA, F-A-F-S-A.
Yes, we did.
All right, you fill that out. Let me ask Diana Washington. I understand that one of the requirements is some kind of commitment document that the scholar must sign. Is that correct?
It's called an affirmation form.
Affirmation form. Is a daughter correct? Did she sign the affirmation form?
I did everything that I was supposed to do.
Wait, hold it. You're not answering my question.
Yes.
It's a specific form. Was that form signed?
Yes.
Did you make a copy of the form?
No.
Why not? That's like if you sign a contract, you sign a credit card receipt, you keep a copy of the receipt. How important is that commitment document, Diana Washington, and
crucial,
where would they get that?
Crucial, and it's actually online. You can go to the scholar's website, scholars.in.gov, and you can find that affirmation form online.
And the affirmation form, that's the scholar swearing that they did everything they were supposed to do?
Yes.
Okay.
May I ask her a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
When your daughter completed her financial aid packet, had received her financial aid award from the university, did it list all of the monies that were coming from various places?
Yes, she had got a loan also, and I'm disabled.
Okay, so in her financial aid packet, all of her tuition was covered?
No, we just had to make a $4,000 payment for her to get her grades this semester.
I guess the question, this is Chris, I'm the director of outreach for the 21st Century Scholars Program. The question, if a child enrolls in the program, so you have confirmation that she was enrolled, because sometimes people think they're a 21st Century Scholar and they are not. They never actually enrolled in junior high.
I'm sorry. I made sure. My son is on that list, and my daughter was on that list.
Well,
find her paperwork, but they can find his paperwork.
Did you ever make a copy of the paperwork for her?
When we filled out the FAFSA?
No, when she originally enrolled in 21st Century Scholars back in the day, did you make a copy of the application? Because those were paper applications at the time.
You know what? I'm not sure. That was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not sure if I made a copy of it.
All right. Well, like I said, and what school did she graduate from?
Fall Creek Academy
Charter.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I tell you what, if she was in an Indiana school, they got a tracking number for her. And then they can go through their database and see if they're there. So, Keisha, what I want you to do, I want you to hold on, and I want you to give Chris, the gentleman that answered the phone when you called, give him your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. And the 21st Century Scholars people will get back to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're quite welcome. 239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's name is 21st Century Scholars. Folks are here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. Send us an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It's afternoons with Amos on a Tuesday. We're with Diana Washington, Chris Enstrom, and Jason Bierce with 21st Century Scholars. How important is this, since a lot of this registration is now done online, to print off a copy of the application and put it where your safe documents is? If you keep your safe documents in somewhere on a special page of the Bible, put it there, but put it somewhere that's safe.
Yes, please. Make sure that you are maintaining your own record keeping system of some sort. It's just like you file your income taxes. You need to make sure you hold on to your documentation. So like the last call, if you have a situation where I'm not sure, I think we filed that, you can pull that document out and say, hey, I have proof that this is when we did it. Here's the date. Here's the person who received it. So that's crucial for their success.
And you're also, Jason and Chris, talking about what a student in the family ought to do in each of the years of high school to prepare for college. So if they're a freshman, you know, what is the plan for graduation in terms of the courses and types of things? If you're on the Core 40, to stay on the Core 40. If you're on Core 40 Honors, to stay on Core 40 Honors, you know, on those diploma tracks, you know, make sure the student is in some kind of extracurricular or service activity. Start to figure out how you're going to pay for all of this. Even, you know, 21st Century Scholars covers tuition, but then there's the food and the room and board and the books and the iPad and all that other kind of stuff. Then when you're a sophomore, look at, you know, what kind of career you really want to do. You know, try to find some work experience, even if it's some work to where you don't get paid, but you can put on a resume, I worked. Try to figure out the cost of college. And by the time you're a junior, visit some colleges, start to take the entrance exams, SAT, ACT, and start looking for extra money to help pay for some of this other stuff. And then when you're a senior, apply for college, fill out the financial aid, do all the other stuff. So there's a step that you all are trying to encourage the scholars to do.
Right, and we should say more broadly, we think these are the activities that all students should be doing. And moving forward, or you know, we want to keep this as simple and straightforward and clear as possible to say, as a 21st century scholar, it's in your best interest to do these things. As a student in the state of Indiana, it's in your best interest to do these things. But
Go ahead.
I would say, you know, really we have, you know, two goals here. One, we want to make sure students in the beginning know about the choices they make will make a difference in terms of the opportunities that are available to them at the other end of the system. But beyond that, we want them to do as much of that preparation, exploration on the front end so they're not figuring those things out completely once they get to college. Because at that point, you know, every semester they're in college, they're using up financial aid, and we want to make sure that they end up with a degree when it's all said and done.
Let me go back to the phones. We've got another Tawana at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Tawana, and I'm sorry. Hi, Amos.
Hi.
My questions are kind of numerous, though, because I just heard some things that I could relate to. My daughter went to 21st Century, and we did fill out that paperwork, but we were kind of never encouraged to keep a copy. So I don't have any documentation. I guess where I'm different is that my daughter is actually continuing and always been an honor student. She's in her sophomore year, and she's currently in an Indiana charter school. But she is has been offered an opportunity to go to Indiana High School for her sophomore and junior year and at Ball State. So my question is how are these changes going to kind of affect her? Because I always thought that the GPA was 2.5, and because that's what her counselor had always stated to us. But I've never gotten anything over the years, and we've pretty much never moved too many places. We've always kind of been stayed in one place, but I've never got any literature or anything from 21st Century Scholars letting us know anything other than the pledge that should be done to make sure that you keep this type of scholarship. Because at the end of her, I knew at the end of her junior year we should be looking, you know, to into our financial thing, our financial portfolio, to see what type of options are available.
Right.
But I always assumed that 21st Century Scholar was just, you know, there, and it was something other than the pledge. There really wasn't anything else that we had to do. So I'm really one of those people, one of those parents that are kind of like, this is her sophomore year, let's prepare. So what tips and what information can you give us to kind of make sure we stay on that track? And I agree also with the GPA being raised, because I think we have to raise the standard for our children and expect more out of them regardless of what school they're in IPS, a charter
right.
school, or anything. So,
Tawana, your daughter is class of 2015. She's a 15, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So 15 is a 2.5. And going forward, what kind of communication can Tawana and her daughter expect to get from 21st Century Scholars? Diana?
Sure. I want to point out one place where you can definitely go to get a lot of great resources, and that's learnmoreindiana.org. You go to that particular website, you'll see a link on there that's the K-12, and it will break down a lot of different information that you will need, as well as different resources that are available to you as a scholar. As we move forward, we're going to be rolling out what's called the Student Success Programming, and so you can expect to see more information regarding that on our particular website, and that's the scholars.in.gov website. So please go there as well. In addition to just making sure that you're in contact with your guidance counselors, because I will send information out to all of the guidance counselors, and as well as, you know, just making sure our families are up to date with all of the changes and things that are happening, and then as well as being in contact with me. I don't know if, Jason, if there's anything else that should be added.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where it's really important for us to have current information for our 21st century scholars. Right now, we're getting ready to do a direct mail to all senior scholars to remind them about this FAFSA deadline, remind them about the affirmation deadline. We're going to be communicating through the schools, but our direct communication is limited to the effect of, or to the number of students that we have good information on. So I guess in this case, I would say please call the scholar's office and make sure that we have yours or your daughter's email address and your correct home address, because that's the best way to make sure that we're being proactive. We have the opportunity to be proactive about communicating with you. And, of course, you can always contact us. You can always talk to your school counselor. The communication is a two-way street here, but we're making a commitment at the state level to be far more proactive about the amount of outbound communication that we do, and being very specific each year, students from the program, to say, make sure you do the things this year. And when we have better tracking abilities, we'll be able to say, and at the end of the day, did you do those things? If not, you need to get caught up. Here's the things you need to be thinking about doing next year. So we really want to be much more deliberate about the information that we provide to scholars and families.
Let me go to Jocelyn at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Okay. What year did they change their GPA? I have a question.
I believe it was in the 2010 session of the legislature.
Okay. Reason I'm concerned about that. Number one, the student, I subbed in IPS for 10 years, and I taught middle school. I taught language arts and mathematics. I went behind licensed teachers who had not really taught our children anything. Most of the teachers in these public schools do not look like us. And those children who are honor roll and high achievers, a lot of times their grades are, I would say, dirty politics. Mm-hmm. They're not given the best grades. So when you base a child's learning ability on a GPA to get into college, I am a witness, okay, that a lot of these suburban white teachers who come into the inner city and teach our children, they really don't care about them achieving, and their grades do not always reflect their ability. There's another thing. Racism is still alive and well in the state of Indiana. And there is a philosophy that our children cannot learn because they're poor, parents on welfare, single. I've heard all the excuses, and on the inside, I fought for that. This program is sponsored by taxpayer dollars. And if they increase the GPA to 2.5, a student that's working hard that comes up against a bad teacher that intentionally lowers their grades when they know they're on an honor track, it's nothing that child can do unless they can prove or the parents file a lawsuit to get those grades adjusted. I had documentation to prove that in a magnet school. The vice principal did not want me to serve in that school anymore when I pointed these issues out. The whole class, seventh graders, could not spell cat on their seventh grade spelling test on a Friday. I gave them the test over. Right. Only 50% of them passed the spelling test from their book. Now, I complained to Superintendent Pat Pritchard back then and Dr. Mary Bush. I took those papers in. I had 150 students in six classes. Now, I'm kind of upset that if the state is saying now that our children will not benefit from this scholarship program with an opportunity to go to school, they need to check some of these teachers that are in these classrooms, because they're not teaching our children.
All right, I need to move on. We made some great points, as always. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's from our website, praiseindy.com, because we have the smartest talk show audience in the whole country. Linda's got some suggestions. Linda, first of all, says they should have a parent engagement workshop for parents so they know what forms to fill out, what to make copies of, and a booklet that lists for each year in high school, etc. It's obvious by the caller some parents don't know the title of the forms they're filling out. We need to reach parents. We have to remember they may not have gone to college themselves. We need to teach them how to maintain records. Also, what are they doing to engage former 21st century scholars? I was a scholar that graduated from IU and would be willing to speak with parents, students about what I learned. Says y'all need a parent engagement coordinator. And then she mentions when she went to John Marshall, there was a program called ALFEE, Association for Loan Free Education. It's no longer around, but people came to school once a month to hold workshops about college preparation, kept up with our grades, told us about resources, taught us how to speak with our counselors, and took us on college visits. Putting everything online isn't the best option, or giving it to the guidance counselor. Once again, these families who never went to college, they need hands-on. I've heard many families who say they didn't receive anything in the mail, even though the office had their correct address. The students need college preparation. Then got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Text message, is this a low-income program? And that deals with one of the other changes the legislature made, and that is that there will be means testing for those in the class of 2016, 2017, and 2018 moving forward. What's means testing?
So what it means is until—
Because this has been a income-based program.
Right.
If you're in the 1%, your kid cannot get a 21st century scholar.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So the criteria to sign up for the program has been, does your family qualify for the federal free and reduced lunch program?
Okay.
If you do and you apply, you are accepted. It always has always been that was the criteria. Then if you affirm and you do your FAFSA, meet those deadlines, you get the scholarship. There was no testing to look at what your income is again to see if it has changed. So beginning with the students who signed up after June 30th, 2011, mm-hmm. So it's not even all of the class of 2016,
okay.
Just the ones who signed up after June 30th, there will be a means testing on the back end, meaning that when they do the FAFSA, there's a number called the expected family contribution that's
right.
Generated. But using that number, they'll see, do they still have financial need? And if they do, they still get the full scholarship. And if they do not, they would get a one-time maximum $2,500 award, and they still get all the benefits of the program up to then, but they don't get the full scholarship.
So for those that signed up and they qualified based on their income for free and reduced lunch, and by the time they become seniors, they're living large because things got better, then they would not get the full benefits of the program. That's what means testing is.
Correct.
On the back end.
That's correct.
Okay. 239-1310. 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. So let me go back to the phones. And Anonymous. Hi there. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, Amos and 21st Century Scholars Representative.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter signed up for 21st Century Scholars in, I want to say, the summer of 2010.
Okay.
Now, she's in the class of 2017, and our address has not changed. My email has not changed. She did change from Broad Ripple to Seidner Academy for Gifted and Talented,
mm-hmm.
and we have not heard anything from 21st Century Scholars. I have sent emails to them because I want to make sure my daughter is not missing any of the activities. I want to make sure that she's staying involved. And over the breaks, sometimes I'm looking for things for her to do, and I'm looking for correspondence from 21st Century, and we have not received anything from them. She did go to the ceremony and signed the pledge. And after that, I have not heard anything from them, and I have not received any further information as far as how to make sure she's still active with them.
Okay, let me let them respond, because Diana Washington, I've heard this about. There's supposed to be activities, and I never hear anything about the activities. Or there was a ceremony, and then the others that say we never heard of the ceremony. First of all, are there activities involved for 21st Century Scholars?
There are activities involved. Currently, though, we have none on the roster at this point. Mm-hmm. What I'm working on currently is my senior exit, because our seniors are getting ready to graduate. And so the number of students, we need to make sure that they get their affirmation. We will be planning additional programming for students, so you do need to be on the lookout for that, and communication will happen. So please just kind of sit tight. We are going through a transition, so we're trying to make sure that what was done in the past, we've kind of cleaned things up, and we're trying to get that information out there with all the new services that are going to be provided. So we just ask for your patience. We are working on what the new program is going to look like and how that will break down for each particular cohort of students. So if you do have questions, though, or concerns about anything, please, please visit the websites again, especially the Learn More Indiana website, as well as the Scholars website, in addition to just giving us a call.
So wait a minute, Anonymous, who'd you email? Did you email a particular person?
Yes. There was a lady before my daughter signed the pledge who was emailing me regarding information on when to go to the ceremony. Once we went to the ceremony and signed the pledge, all communication got shut down, and I did not receive anything more from them. So I saved the emails about the ceremony, so I would just respond to whoever that lady was.
All right, I tell you what, I'm going to make you a deal, Anonymous. I want you to hold on, and if you would give Chris your email.
Okay.
Give Chris your email address off the air. We'll share that with Diana Washington, and I bet you Diana going to email you.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make an
email connection. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Names. We're talking about 21st Century Scholars. And you got a son or a daughter or a grandson and granddaughter. We got a great conversation going. And you may have questions. 239-1310. 239-1310. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620. Keyword Amos. Tomorrow on the program. Oh, my goodness gracious. Tomorrow, Bureau of Motor Vehicles will be here. IMPD and the folks from Indianapolis downtown, they got some problems with young people misbehaving downtown. We'll talk about that. And then on Thursday, in our second hour, and I know she may have some things to say about 21st Century Scholars and higher education, because the superintendent of public instruction has kind of, you know, something, a little dotted line that has something to do with that. Glenda Ritz will be here live taking your phone calls. It's Afternoons with Amos on a very busy Tuesday. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. You all are, Diana Washington, doing partnerships, which this is a little different with 21st Century. Who are y'all partnering with?
Yes, thank you so much for that opportunity to answer this question. For Marion County, I've been working with CLD, Shepherd Community, Edna Martin Christian Center, Indianapolis Urban League, the Urban Mission YMCA, Starfish, Kristen Moore House. There's a number of community partners out there providing services to 21st Century Scholars, and not just 21st Century Scholars, but to students across the board. So we are partnering with them to be able to reach out to our 21st Century Scholars students as well as the families. Indiana Black Expo just had a parent empowerment conference, and we were there as part of that. IYI just had a Because Kid Count conference, and we were there because of that. So we're reaching out to these partners, and we're hoping that people will come alongside of us to be able to provide services to our students, not only help them with the academic skill development that they need, but what we consider some soft skills or some leadership skills to help them learn how to negotiate and navigate post-secondary education, because it is a scary environment.
What can churches do? In other words, it is reasonable to assume that many churches out of their members have some 21st Century Scholars. What, you know, and there's pastors listening, there's heads of deacon and trustee boards, there's first ladies of the church listening, church auxiliaries listening. What can a church do? Should they first identify within their church who the 21st Century Scholars are and help lift them up?
Yes, that would be the most important thing. And then let's do some activities or some events. If you want to do an enrollment night, or if you want to do...
What's an enrollment? I've heard this term. What's an enrollment night?
Is where you actually bring all of the 7th or 8th grades together, and we go over what is the program and how do you enroll in the program, what information is needed, what is required of you, what are your responsibilities, obligations to the program, and then what is the program going to do for you? Mm-hmm. So what are the steps? How do you get into the program? How do you stay into the program? How do you make sure that you affirm at the end of your senior year. So that's what we call an enrollment.
We've also heard about an affirmation ceremony. What are those and who organizes those?
I would call those senior exits.
Mm-hmm.
The eight coordinators will be putting together the senior exits for their particular counties. I'm actually going to be doing Marion County.
That's a lot of schools.
Yes, it is a number of schools. It's a daunting task, but I welcome it. I have a great partnership with Ivy Tech. Mm-hmm. They are our host site, and we're going to be setting up some dates and times. And I've actually emailed all of my guidance counselors to let them know, please be looking for this information. I'm getting to the point where I'm confirming those particular dates so that the scholars can show up for senior exits, where we will talk about the FAFSA and how to fill that out, as well as making sure that they take receipt of their scholarships and negotiate.
What do you mean by receipt of you don't give them the money right there?
No. Your affirmation form, making sure that you've completed your affirmation form on time. You make understand what your deadlines are. March 10th is the deadline for the FAFSA.
March 10th. That's a big deadline.
Yes, it is. It's also the deadline for your affirmation form as your FAFSA. The May 15th is the deadline for edits for the FAFSA form. So those are two crucial dates.
How important is the College Goal Sunday middle of February? Because that's where there's sites all over town, a lot of high schools, Ivy Tech, downtown as well, where people can get help filling out this doggone form.
So if you have questions, if you're not sure, I don't know how to do this, I really need someone to walk me through this, this is a golden opportunity for you to be there. I will actually be volunteering at the one on the Ivy Tech campus. I think there's like 40, 41 sites that are mm-hmm. going to be hosting these particular events. As a scholar, any student who's needing to fill out their FAFSA form, please, if you're needing assistance, this is a prime opportunity to get it.
And there's no Super Bowl this year, so there's no distractions.
And this is another example of one of those partnerships with College Goal Sunday. In addition mm-hmm. to helping all students fill out the FAFSA, we're working with all the College Goal Sunday sites to make sure students who are seniors in the program, while they're there, that they haven't affirmed, they can do that then.
Back to the phones. And Stevie, hi there.
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you? What's up?
All right, and you? My question is, my daughter, she graduated from high school last year, but she took a year off from college. I was trying to see, she had 21st Century Scholars. I was trying to see, if you take that first year off, do you not get it?
Well, wait a minute now. When did she graduate, in May or June of what year?
She graduated in May of 2011.
May of 2011.
Yes.
All right, Chris, what is the deadline to cash in?
It was May of the fall of 2012.
Oh, so she's not enrolled?
So, I'm sorry.
She's enrolled in college now. She started in the fall, past fall.
But then she should have gotten something.
Did she complete her FAFSA?
Did you fill out in March of this year the FAFSA form, the big
FAFSA? Yes.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Did she complete her affirmation, filling out the affirmation form? She would have.
I heard you talking about that. That I am not sure about.
Because
I know we had been doing everything else, you know, and when she graduated, they had told her that she was supposed to be getting her 21st Century Scholars.
Who told her that?
The school.
What school?
Arsenal Tech.
Now they ordered, but they didn't, and they said nothing about an affirmation form.
I haven't heard about one.
I tell you what I want you to do, because it sounds like she was kind of in it. And maybe a piece was missing. So, Stevie, what I want you to do, I want you to hold on, and I want you to give Chris your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
All right, thank you.
And they'll follow up. What education is being done with these schools? Because with all of these changes, some of these schools may just say, well, all you had to do was fill out the financial aid form, and you're in like Flynn.
Yeah, the schools are very important. And
do y'all call them in for a meeting?
Well, we have right now. We have a school liaison who is a new position, and her job is to work directly with school counselors to communicate new program information and to offer support and guidance. And so that's one thing we're doing. But what you bring up is a very good idea, and one that we thought about is having something our outreach coordinators can do is actually support regional meetings with the school counselors to disseminate information.
What I was going to say is, this is a state program. Mm-hmm. This is from the Commission of Higher Education. This is under the auspices of the Department of Education. And these changes are critical. Is there a reason the state cannot mandate regional meetings where everybody from a high school better show up or else? Y'all pretty good at doing that. And the reason I say that is there may be a school, I'm not going to pick on Tech, there might be a school out in the rural area that gives the parent or the student the wrong information, and that student is out to lunch, and they're going to be calling Mike Pence screaming bloody murder. Or they're going to be calling Superintendent Ritz saying the same thing. With all the changes, why not a mandatory meeting, everybody coming to Indianapolis except for the folks here, but some kind of mandatory meeting?
Well, there are any number of mandatory meetings, as school folks know all too well.
Yeah.
And there are all sorts of mandatory requirements out there for students in schools right now. The high school graduation plan is one right now. Right now, every student in the state of Indiana is required, and schools are required to make this happen. And we're seeing in many cases it doesn't happen. So it's certainly got to be a balance between requiring things but also making sure people have good information.
Okay. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Connie, hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
My granddaughter is in the 21st century. We signed up when she was in seventh grade. She left the state for a year to go live with her dad, and now she's back. And I wanted to know, will she continue to be in 21st century? Did she lose out or what?
That is a great question. What happens if kid leaves for a year, goes spend time with dad or mom or in-laws, comes back to be educated in the great state of Indiana? What's the status? It's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question. As long as she graduates from an Indiana high school with an Indiana high school diploma and has residency here and her parent or guardians have residency here when she graduates and does everything else that's required, the affirmations, the FAFSA, she will get the scholarship.
What class is she in?
She's a sophomore.
So she's class of 15. Should Connie and her daughter check the website and make sure she is registered?
Yeah, actually, and that's a good point. If you go to the website, www.scholars.in.gov, and click, I believe it's on the Scholars link, current Scholars link, there is something where you can check current enrollment. So they can just list their name and I believe the Social Security number, and it will verify that they're enrolled. You can always call the helpline as well, and that's something you should do. And while you're at it, make sure that that the state has current contact information for you, school, phone number, and address.
Okay.
All right,
well,
great.
Well, none of that changed, but.
All right, I tell you what, Connie, hold on. I want you to give off the air, Chris, your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay.
And they'll follow up and check the status of your granddaughter, okay? All right.
Okay.
239-1310, 239-1310. Oh, I got another email. This is a great one. This is from Anonymous. I would like to know what 21st Century Scholars is doing to bridge the gap between high school and college enrollment. I work for a post-secondary facility. So we do not get word of a student's college choice until after they fill out the FAFSA. Is there a way to get this info early so we can develop a student success plan or program? I know this will soon be a requirement or will be. Why can't college advisors who deal with students be given access to help with the program and helping students get better prepared for college? Uh-oh. Here's one of those post-secondary institutions in the great state of Indiana that says, we don't know somebody's a scholar till they fill out the form. Why can't you at least – everybody else shares names of seniors in high school because for colleges mail it. Is there a reason why there can't be that cooperation?
And actually –
That's a great question.
Yeah, there is a fair amount of cooperation when we're trying to make it easier to connect those dots every day. Actually, students – across the state of Indiana, if their school administers it, do an online survey or in their school, and students can elect to receive information from colleges, whether they're a 21st century scholar or not. So they could be receiving information from colleges as early as middle school and continuing the whole way along the program.
But there are, and I can say this because, grandbaby is sitting here as one of these class of 13, so she gets this mail. She didn't necessarily ask some of these people to send her a letter, so they're getting student information from somebody. So why can't, since me as a taxpayer, I'm helping to pay for 21st century scholars, why can't Indiana schools get access to that? I realize there's some privacy issues involved.
Yeah, and we actually have several schools have access to share our list of our senior 21st century scholars so they could do recruitment mailing to them.
And so there are some schools that do that. So maybe anonymous, he needs to ask his unnamed institution, you know, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, we'll be happy to share that information.
And our challenge, too, is to making sure all different areas of the college that can work with these students have that. We see happen, just like any big institution or big enterprise, you know, the admissions department or the financial aid department might have this information, but they're not always sharing it with the advising office or the student success office. So that's one of the areas that we're trying to be much more impactful at the state level, is having individuals that we know are a central point of contact at each of these colleges so we can connect students to services.
239-1310, 239-1310, the folks are 20 First Century Scholars here. I hope this person that sent me the anonymous email, I hope they don't work for that higher education institution where, you know, a certain high-ranking state employee is going to work as president, because if he found out that they weren't finding out that information, he's not going to be a happy camper. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. They're here. We're answering your 21st Century Scholars. We're learning a lot today. It's Afternoons with Amos on a very busy Tuesday.